The reading this morning is Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through to 26. Philippians 1, 19. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. This is the word of the Lord.
If you were to die today, would today be a good day for you or a bad day for you? If you knew that you were going to die today, would you say, I am winning at life? Or would you say, I am losing at life? Would you say, my life is going to get better? Or would you say my life is going to get worse? In verse 21 of our reading, the Apostle Paul says one of the greatest, most remarkable statements ever made. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, Paul says, if I live rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And if I die, then I gain. In other words, if I live as a winner. And if I die, I'm a bigger winner. Why does Paul say that? How can Paul say that? How can you say that this morning? And what are the implications of saying it? We see the answer to all those questions in this remarkable passage. We're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at the book of Philippians. And the Philippians have heard, Philippi is a city in Greece, and the church in Philippi have heard that Paul is in prison in Rome. And they're concerned about him. So they've sent one of their church members, Epaphroditus, to Rome to find Paul. To see if he's okay. To tell him that they're praying for him. And to give him some support, financial support. To help him, to feed him, and to encourage him while he's in prison. And so Paul writes this letter to the Philippians in response to that. He's in a dungeon, prison in Rome. And he says to them, he says, don't worry about me. Even though I'm in prison in Rome, I am filled with joy. And I'm filled with joy even in my suffering, because through my suffering, the message of Jesus Christ is advancing. The soldiers who I'm chained to are hearing about Jesus Christ. Other people are being strengthened and emboldened to speak about Jesus Christ. I'm rejoicing in my suffering. And even if the court case goes against me and I'm found guilty and I'm put to death, I'm going to continue to rejoice. Paul says, I don't know what the future holds for me. It's uncertain. It's unsure. But I'm rejoicing now, and I'm going to keep on rejoicing in the future. And I'm going to rejoice with an unshakable, confident joy because of Jesus Christ. That is not something which is only for the Apostle Paul, but you can have that sort of joy too. No matter what your future holds. None of us are on death row or in a Roman dungeon prison this morning. But whatever the future holds for you, you can have unshakable, certain joy and continue to have that no matter what. Isn't that something you want in your life? To be able to rejoice no matter what the circumstances are, even if you die. Well, there's three things about this Christian joy that I want us to see from this passage. The focus of Christian joy, the source of Christian joy, and the implications of Christian joy. Focus of Christian joy, the source of Christian joy, and the implications of Christian joy. First of all, the focus of Christian joy. Paul says, yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It's my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, when Paul talks about deliverance here, he doesn't mean release from prison. He says, when he's talking about deliverance, and that the prayers of the Philippians for him turning out for his deliverance, he's not saying, I definitely am going to get out of prison and I'm going to be let off on the court case. By deliverance here, he means that on the final day, he's going to be vindicated before God. He's going to be acquitted at God's court. Irrespective of what Caesar says and how he's treated by the Romans, he's sure and certain that before God, he will be vindicated. Because as the Philippians are praying for him, Paul knows that God's going to answer the prayers and he's going to keep going as a Christian, keep honoring Jesus Christ, and he will therefore be vindicated by God on the final day. You see, Paul has got a focus in his life, an ambition for his life. It's the ambition every Christian should have. His focus and his ambition in life is Jesus Christ. He wants Christ to be honored in his life, in his body, whether he lives or whether he dies. That's what absorbs him. That's what consumes him. That's what his desire is. He has a passion for Jesus Christ, and he wants to spread a passion for Jesus Christ. He wants to do that with his thoughts, his plans, his words, his actions. Christ is at the center of his life. His whole life revolves around Jesus Christ. See, he believes the gospel. He believed that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again for him, that he could be forgiven, that he could be right with God. And now in response, he wants to live for Jesus Christ who lived and died for him. He wants to honor him with his life. So how do you do that? How do you honor Jesus Christ with your life? If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you know that he's lived and died for you and you in turn want to live for him, how do you do that? How do you honor Jesus Christ with your life? I suppose, how do you honor anything in your life? You know, my wife was making brownies earlier this week. And usually when I'm studying and preparing a sermon on the book of Philippians, I would close the study door because I don't want any distractions. But when she's making brownies, I leave the study door open because the smell of the brownies just comes round through into the study. And although I'm really focused on the sermon preparation, you know, if my mind wanders, it's, you know, I start thinking about the brownies and imagining eating one or two later on. But not only that, when it comes to my wife's brownies, if there's any conversations about tray bakes and sweet treats and desserts, I always have to put in, you know, my wife's brownies are up there with the best. In fact, I don't really call them chocolate brownies. They're more like brownie chocolates because the amount of chocolate that's in the brownie. But not only that, the ultimate way that I honour my wife's brownies is not just by thinking about them or by speaking about them, but you've got to put it into practice, haven't you? You need to try them out, you know. And so, you know, eating one or two or three this week on Wednesday, that's how I honour my wife's brownies. And the way you honour Jesus Christ is similar. You think about him. You don't just think about him when you're in church or when you're reading your Bible and having your devotional time in the morning or evening. You think about him during the day. You connect him to every aspect of your life, what you're doing. And you speak about him. You take every opportunity to speak about him naturally in your life as you play football, as you go to work, as you spend time with your family. You just bring him up in conversation. And also, you put into practice his words. You live for Jesus Christ by doing what he says, by loving God, by worshiping God, by loving your neighbor. That's how you honor Jesus Christ. You think about him, you speak about him, and you put into practice what he says. Now, if you live like that, you could end up in trouble. It's costly to live like that. The Apostle Paul has been put into prison for living like that. And he might even die because he lives like that. You know, it will cost you to live like that. It might cost you your reputation. People might speak badly about you. People might mistreat you and criticize you if you live devoted to Jesus Christ, seeking to honor him. And when that happens, you can reconsider your Christian life. You can be tempted to put your energies and your focus onto other things and say, well, yeah, no, I am going to continue as a Christian, but maybe I shouldn't be quite as keen and over the top as people say I am. You know, just dampen things down a bit. Or, you know, I'm going to be Christian and really passionate, but I'm going to keep it private and not be public about my faith because people are critical of it. Or you can say, well, you know, I'm going to change my view on some of these subjects which are unpopular at the moment. You know, I'm going to cut some of the edges off the Christian faith because I don't really want to be criticized. Or you can say, this Christian living business is really hard work. I'm just going to quit. But Paul doesn't do any of that. Even though he's in prison, even though he might die, he doesn't do any of that. He says, I'm going to keep living for Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to me. I'm going to keep honoring Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to me. In fact, he says he has full courage. He's confident that if he keeps doing that and keeps living for Jesus Christ, then on the final day, when he stands before God, he's going to be vindicated. God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done for continually living for me, even though life has been hard for you. And God will say the same for you as well on that final day. If you live with your focus on Jesus Christ, live to honor Jesus Christ. If you say, he's lived for me, I'm going to live for him. Then on that final day, God will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You'll be vindicated. You may not be vindicated here on earth, but you'll be vindicated before God in heaven. See, that's the focus of a Christian's joy. What's the source of Christian joy? Well, Paul says it in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Now, let's be honest, this is remarkable, and it's a challenge to us. And, like, we struggle to identify with it, don't we? To say that to die is gain. But the reason we struggle to identify with it is because for us, living is often not Christ. You see, to die is gain only if to live is Christ. If to live is Christ, then to die is gain. But if to live is not Christ, then to die is not gain. But you see, for Paul, to live was Christ. Christ was more important to him than anything or anyone else in life. It was the... And so Christ is the focus of his passion, the focus of his ambition. Christ is everything to him. And so for Paul, death is gain because it's more of Jesus. You see, if to live is Christ, then when you die, you get to be with Christ. And so that's gain because it's more of him. You see, if life is about being successful or having money or having a lovely family or friends, or if life's about food or drink or football, then death is the end of life because it's the loss of those things. And so death is hard and death is sad. And you see, if to live is money, then to die is to leave it behind. If to live is becoming famous and successful, then to die is to be forgotten. If to live is power, then to die is powerlessness. If to live is family and friends, then to die is separation. You see, if we live for anything else other than Christ, then to die is to lose. Death is the greatest loss, the greatest sadness. Because when we die, we lose everything that makes life meaningful and worthwhile. And so in our culture, we don't like to talk about death. We're afraid of it. We ignore it. And on the rare occasion it rears its head, maybe because a loved one has died recently, or maybe because you've seen something on the telly, we try and distract ourselves. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to consider it. We want to forget about it. Which is understandable if to live is anything else other than Christ, but it's ridiculous because we're all going to die one day. You can't avoid it. And so to be aware that you're going to die is wise. It's sensible. And Paul says here, you can die with confidence and even with joy if you live for Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus Christ is your life, then whatever the circumstances are in your life, you can be filled with joy. Whatever is happening to you in life, you can have joy. And if you die, you can have more joy. You see, if Jesus Christ is your life, then no matter whether you live or you die, you are a winner. Whatever you do in life, you win. If things go well in your life, you win. Because Christ is your life. If things go badly in your life, you win. Because Christ is your life. The Christian life is a win-win life. You know, St. Clement's is a winner's church. Not because we've all got it together, not because God's going to give us health and wealth and make us prosperous, but because no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens to you, you win. Because if you find your joy in Jesus Christ, then your life is a winning life. And most of us want to be winners. You want to be a winner, don't you, in life? Most of us want to be winners. We don't want to be losers. That's why more people support Arsenal and Manchester City than Blackburn and Stockport County. You know, we want to be winners in life. Well, Paul says, if you want to be a winner in life, be a Christian. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in his life and his death and his resurrection for you. Make that your joy, because if you do, you win at life. Paul says, if I'm released from prison, I win, because I'll get to keep on preaching about Jesus Christ and living for him. If I'm put to death, I win, because I get to be with Jesus Christ. He says, no matter what I do, I win. In fact, he's having a debate with himself. He says, I don't know which is better, actually. He says, in verse 22, he says, which is better for me to be released and to keep on preaching for Jesus Christ? Well, that's better for you. It's good for me, but it's better for you. But if I die, I get to be with Jesus Christ, and that's probably better for me. So I don't really know what I want to happen. Because if I carry on living, I live rejoicing in Jesus Christ, and if I die, I have more joy. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now someone might say, okay, I hear you, Paul, and I understand this, but when I die, doesn't my body go into the grave and decay? How can that be better for me? How does death increase my joy? Well, when you die, your body will be buried and will begin to decay, but your spirit, the moment you die, will go back to be with God, will be in the presence of Jesus, and will be filled with joy. And one day, your body will be raised from the dead, never to decay or die again, and you will live on a new world full of joy and peace and love forever. So the moment you die, your soul, your conscious soul, will be filled with joy, and one day you'll be raised from the dead physically, and your body and soul will be reunited, and you will have physical and spiritual joy forever. That is your hope as a Christian. And so you can say with the Apostle Paul, I desire to depart, because that's far better. That word depart is the word for a ship pulling up anchor, heading back to harbor, or an army packing up their camp, ready to go home after victory. I desire to depart, because as I depart, I'm heading back to my heavenly home. You know, we can often think that that death is the end of life, the loss of all good things. But if I want to, if I can paraphrase Winston Churchill, death is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end. Death is the end of the beginning. This life that we have now is simply the beginning of our life. We've got eternity to come. And death is when you die, you then begin to experience in fullness the life which we experience in part now. Let me ask you, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe as a Christian this morning, that if you die today, you would gain? Or let me put it another way. What does Jesus Christ mean to you today? Is he your Lord and Savior? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you turned from your sins or whatever you've been resting on and relying upon? And have you turned to Jesus Christ and put your trust in him as your Lord and Savior? Is he your life? Have you experienced the grace and the forgiveness of God through him? Because if he's your Savior now, he will be your Savior when you die. If he's your life now, he'll be your life when you die. The only difference is You're not with him now physically, but you will be with him then. And so when you die, you're even more of a winner than you are now. And so death's not terrible to you, because nothing will separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And therefore, when you die, you'll be even more full of joy than any joy that you've experienced here and now. Now, if you believe that, if you believe that you're a winner now, but you'll be a bigger winner when you die, you're unstoppable. Like, that'll get you through anything in life, even death. So what's the implications of this Christian joy? If you believe this, what's the implications for your life? Well, Paul tells us some in verses 25 and 26. He says, convinced of this, I'm sure of this, I'm certain of this. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Paul says, I think God wants me to actually stay. Even though death is going to give me more joy, God wants me to stay so that I can serve you. So I can continue to teach about Jesus Christ and share the gospel with you so that you can increase in joy. And he says, I'm willing to do that. In other words, I am willing to put on hold more joy and pleasure for me because I want more joy and pleasure for you. See, Paul's deepest desire is to be with Christ, because that's where the fullness of joy is to be found. But Paul also wants the Philippians to experience that deep joy for themselves as well. And so he says, I am interested in what's best for you, in what will give you joy, in what will make you happy, in what will help you as a Christian, in what will help you progress in grace and joy. He's willing to deny himself for the good of them. And the reason Paul can do that, the reason you can do that, is because you have a win-win life. If all that you ever do in life is win, even when you lose, you win. You know, even if you lose your reputation, you win. Even if you lose your freedom, you win. Even if you lose money, you win. Even if you lose friends, you win. Even if you lose, you win, because you only ever win. Because Jesus Christ is your life. If you know and believe that whatever you do is winning your life, that you cannot lose, you always win, then that enables you to serve others, to deny yourself, to put your own desires second and others' desires first. Because you know that when you do that, you're not going to lose out, you're going to win. The implications of this are huge for our lives. It means you can relax. You know, many of us get stressed in life. And why do we get stressed in life? Well, we get stressed in life often because we know how our lives should go, and our lives are not going like that, and so we get stressed. And when you get stressed, you grab after stuff. You say, I've got to have that. I've got to do that. That's got to be okay. The children have got to behave like this. These things have got to be sorted. But if you know that you're not going to miss out on life because you've got a win-win life, you can relax. You can say, life's not like it, you know, I'd love it to be. But it don't matter. I don't need to get stressed by it. I can relax. Because I'm a winner no matter what. It means that as well that your life is not useless. You know, when you get older and or when you get ill, you can feel like you're just a burden on other people. You know, and you can't do what you used to be able to do, and you know, and you feel like, you know, what good is my life now? And you can look ahead to a future and go, you know, I'm not able to do as much as I used to be able to do. People have to care for me more. But if you live trusting in Jesus Christ, if he is your joy, then you can live knowing that Jesus Christ is with you always. And you can therefore be full of joy always. And therefore your life is not useless. Because for one thing, how life-giving is it to be around a person who's always full of joy? Isn't your life encouraged when you spend time with someone who's full of joy and doesn't mourn and grumble and complain? Even if they're really old and they can't do very much. It's phenomenal. Your life is not useless if you're rejoicing in Jesus Christ. But finally, if you know you've got a win-win life, you can serve other people. You can wake up in the morning and think to yourself, I'm going to live today for God. I'm going to live today for others. How can I make the lives of other people who I meet today full of joy? What can I do? What decisions can I make that will help them and make them happy? You know, when we wake up in the morning, we so often think to ourselves, you know, what can I do today to make me happy? To fill my life full of joy? You know, what decisions can I make that are going to help me in life? But we can say, no, I'm not going to think like that. Because I know my life's a win-win life no matter what happens. And so what decisions can I make today? What decisions can I make for my life in the future that's going to serve the church? That's going to serve other Christians? That's going to make other people happy and full of joy in Jesus Christ? Because my life is a win-win life, no matter what happens to me. Because for me to live is Christ. And even if I die, it's gain. Let me pray. Gracious Father, help us to live in light of what Jesus Christ has done. Help us to live with him as our life. So that we can say, no matter what happens, whether we live or we die, we're going to be full of joy. In fact, to live is to live full of joy in Jesus Christ. But to die, we will be even more full of joy in Jesus Christ. Because he's our life. Help us to live like this. Help us to make a difference in the lives of those around us because we live like this. And give us power by your Spirit to do it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.